When Esther Earle was just 12, she was diagnosed with an incurable type of thyroid cancer. As the disease got worse, it largely confined her to her family's home in Quincy. But Esther kept in touch with friends and relatives by blogging and by posting YouTube videos about her life and her illness. Here she is giving a video tour of her bedroom, which had been moved to the first floor of her family's house after Esther could no longer climb stairs.
And this used to be a dining room, but now it's my bed, and now it's my lamp, and now it's my bookshelf, and now it's my Harry Potter shrine. Archie Comics shrine? Does anybody know Archie Comics?
Her online presence attracted attention from around the world. And when she died last week at the age of 16, tributes to her on YouTube started pouring in.
Esther, I didn't know you personally. Even if I didn't meet you, you were such an inspiration to me and so many other people.
I'm gonna miss her. That light, that spark is just gone.
Esther was an amazing kid. She was astonishingly empathetic. She was really thoughtful. She was very funny.
I'm amazed at how nonchalantly she was able to talk about what she was going through. I don't know how anyone could do that.
You had cancer, but you were still positive. You were still upbeat. You still loved life. You never forgot to be awesome.
Rest in awesome, Esther. You will always be remembered. I hope you rest in peace.
Joining me now to remember Esther, who became an inspiration for so many, and to talk about the internet community she found, are her parents, Wayne and Lori Earle. Wayne and Lori, thank you for coming on Radio Boston.
It's our pleasure.
Thank you.
I never met Esther, but I've seen the scores of online messages and web videos posted about her, and she's clearly a kid who made an enormous impression on people. Even her appearance, the bright pumpkin orange hair, the intense dimples. Someone described her as, quote, a small girl with crazy hair and an utterly gigantic smile. Hmm. Paint a picture of your daughter for us, including her personality.
Esther was, she was a just a bright light and full of grace. So that's her name, Esther Grace. But she was positive, cheerful, and welcomed people into her life. She just had a big open heart. I remember as a minister having people knock on the door, homeless and others. She was with me one time behind the doors. I was talking to a fellow who was asking for some help, and she grabbed my arm and said, "Daddy, can't he just sleep here? He can. I can give up my room. He can sleep here." She was just a little one, 4 or 5, but she was like that, just always making sure people knew that they were welcome, knew that they were accepted.
Esther obviously had a huge online community of friends by the time she died. She was on Skype, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. She really found a home on the internet. In fact, Esther's deep, lasting online relationships, even with people who had never met her in person, fly against the whole idea that online relationships are superficial.
That's one of the amazing things. You know, being a parent of 5 children, several of them having been teenagers, you do. Everybody's warning you, oh, the internet. And in fact, when Esther had been not pestered, because Make-A-Wish is a wonderful foundation, they would never pester, but they kept saying, "Esther, what do you want to do for your Make-A-Wish?" And she didn't want anything. And I think they were a bit frustrated with her until finally she hit on the idea of a road trip to go and visit these online friends that she had made that had been her life for 2 years. And then when she got sicker, she couldn't do the road trip. And so Make-A-Wish agreed to bring some of her friends to Boston. And it's a surreal experience. They had never met in person. And one of the comment they kept making as each one would come through the door, "Oh, you're so real." Or
you're taller than I thought.
Or so. You're three-dimensional.
But so. The love was just so obvious. It was the connection was deep.
Tell us a little bit about that online community she was part of, because it was a quirky group. You know, it was Harry Potter fans and so-called nerd fighters who, as they put it, work to decrease world suck and increase world awesome.
That's right. And it's simply, Esther's grandmother described them as young, compassionate intellectuals. And as nerd fighters, that doesn't mean they're fighting nerds. They are themselves nerds who are embracing their special personalities. But it's just people that are committed to, they're passionate about justice.
I have the impression that To the very end, Esther did not want cancer to be the defining feature of her life.
Absolutely. When Esther first started making her videos, she used her oxygen all the time, but she would take it off for a couple of minutes to be online, and then she would put it back on, and then she would take it off, and because she didn't want to be known first and accepted as because of pity in any way, or as somebody who had cancer. She wanted to be just Esther.
She had a wig, of course, for a while, and they would stay up till the middle of the night. She's here on the East Coast. She talked to friends in the West Coast and the Midwest. And when she did finally reveal that she had cancer, which wasn't too long into the process, it finally made sense to them because they would say, oh, in the middle of the night, our hair would just be scattered and your hair was perfect. They didn't realize it was a wig.
One of the online messages about Esther says, quote, "A child's chronic illness has a way of magnifying the love and adoration that parents have for that child." Did Esther's cancer bring out parts of her that made you love her even more?
Well, I think she was, you know, she was always a loving person. She always was a bright light, cheerful. And she was who she was. So many of us take so long. And I think the cancer was able to just take that away so that for her what remained was love and understanding and welcome. And she just cut right through it. And so just a week before she died, I was in the room as I was so many times, and I said, Esther, what am I going to do without you? How am I going to live without you? And I thought she would talk and say, well, Dad, here's what you do. Here are the three steps to get dealing with grief. She didn't say a word. She was sitting on her bed. She just held out her arms and said, come here. So I went over and hugged her, and she hung on to me, and I held her. And she didn't have to say anything. She didn't have to say anything at all. But it was her way of showing me that we were going to be okay.
The sicker Esther got, the more immersed she got in the world of hospitals and doctors. It made her grow up too fast. And in one of her online entries, she made a list of what makes a good nurse. it was very endearing. It actually said it included not talking to her like she was a baby,
right,
not waking her up when she was sleeping, and getting blood out of her veins on the first try. But she also worried that after she got sick, as she put it, she wasn't as nice as she used to be.
Mm.
In some ways, did her illness make her an adult before her time?
I think somebody said the other day that Esther was probably always an old soul. So she had a lot of wisdom even as a kid. I mean, we loved to hear her say things. We have videos of her as a kid talking about the angels. And
mm-hmm.
But I think that she would say herself, because, you know, she has one of her videos, she talks about her feelings, and she talks about hating her cancer, but then how can she hate something that made her who she was? And so she was Esther, and she just embraced the good and the bad together.
You know, I'm not always this perfect person. I get pissed. I do stupid things. I hate my cancer. I sometimes wish I've never gone through this. And then I realize that if that happened, I wouldn't be who I am. And then I get all like, oh, that's just confusing. But then sometimes I do wish it never happened, the cancer thing.
Wayne, you describe in one of your online entries watching Esther walk through a local cemetery trying to pick out a plot for herself.
Mm.
And you describe that scene as innocence undone. What did it feel like watching your daughter pick her burial site?
Well, it was surreal, and yet for our family, it was the realest thing, because we've always embraced life and believed, you know, that death is part of life.
One of the online tributes to Esther quotes Albus Dumbledore, the powerful wizard from the Harry Potter series, with this line. It said, "To the well-organized mind, death is but the next great adventure." And Esther's obituary says that she, the quote is, "welcomed death with open-armed exuberance." Did she really?
She accepted that she was going to die, and she wasn't afraid of it. In fact, she had a conversation with one of her sisters, and each time it was, her concern was never for herself. She said, "I'm worried about Angie and how she's going to be after I go. I'm worried about Mom and Dad. How are they going to do?" And so she really wasn't worried about that. And so I think in that way, yes, she would have said, yeah, it's going to be an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've seen online, she absolutely continues to live in that online community.
Mm-hmm.
She does. It's been pretty amazing. On just a couple days ago, the doorbell rang, and there was this sweaty young man at my door riding, who had just arrived on his bike riding from Braintree to Quincy, which has to be a number of miles on a 95-degree day. And he said, is this the place where I can give a tribute to Esther Earle? And he had written a paragraph and had a small donation that he wanted to contribute to Friends of Esther. And his name was Jared. And it touched my heart so much because it's a practical local. I mean, on the internet, it's huge and it's across the world. But this was somebody from the next town over. And he didn't. I said, are you a nerd fighter? And he said, yeah. And he gave me the nerd fighter sign, which is the Star Trek sign. And I just thought it was so amazing. I did give him a glass of water and a bracelet of Esther's, which he said he was going to wear until it broke. So,
Wayne and Lori Earle, thank you for coming in and talking about your daughter.
Thank you.
Wayne and Lori Earle are the parents of Esther Earle. For links to Esther's video blogs, go to our website, wbur.org/Boston. And here's Esther in a video posted on YouTube this summer, responding to another video posted by one of her online friends.
I love them, and I love my sisters. I love my brother. I love my dad. I love my mom, and I love my pets. They are included in the family category. I love my friends. My friends are amazing. The ones I've met online, the ones that I still have IRL. And this video makes me happy, so I just rewatched it a lot, and I just...
You don't see what you present, a beauty calm and clear. It floods the sky and blurs the darkness like a chandelier.
Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.
You present, it's cute.